Morning.
Morning.
So last week we met the young King Ahaz, who feared threats from the north, the nations in the north. Israel, which by this time the kingdom had already split in two, and Israel in the north had already abandoned the Lord for the most part, and had kings that led them astray. And also the nation of Syria was threatening King Ahaz. Through Isaiah the prophet, the Lord said, "Keep calm and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart." But King Ahaz, just shaking in fear, he had already made up his mind down in Jerusalem. He sent word to the king of Assyria, saying, "I'll be your servant. Just please come rescue me." He quickly abandoned the God of Judah and devoted himself to the Assyrians and to their gods. King Ahaz reacted in his fear, not realizing, even though it was clear in the prophecy, not realizing that Assyria was actually a much greater threat. By the time we get to Isaiah chapter 36, the son of Ahaz, Hezekiah, is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. The Assyrian Empire had expanded significantly. It was more than double the size, as they had gone around and conquered like crazy, including Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. So now, King Hezekiah finds himself just a stone's throw from the feared and hated Assyrian Empire. And that's where we pick up the story at the beginning of chapter 36. It says, verse 1, "In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them." Uh-oh. So now Assyria has come into the southern kingdom, the land of Judah. And they have captured everything except the city of Jerusalem. King Sennacherib of Assyria sent one of his men to loudly taunt some of King Hezekiah's men in the hearing of the people living in Jerusalem, who are kind of peering out from behind the walls to see what is going to happen. And the sorts of things he says are, like, "Why are you so confident? And who can you count on? Egypt? The Lord?" And he continued to disrespect the God of Judah. He said, "Oh, you could come bargain with my master. We'll give you horses, like military might, okay, in our world. We'll give you abundant food and drink. You'll be taken care of." He claimed to have the Lord on his side. And then he sowed doubts in people's minds about their leader Hezekiah, doubt that he was telling the truth, doubts about the power of their God and the faithfulness of their God. Verse 15, he said, "Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord." And he went on to remind them that none of the other nearby nations had been able to fight off the Assyrians. None of them. Well, Hezekiah's men heard this message and they tore their clothes in a sign of the seriousness of the situation. And they told the king what had happened. And King Hezekiah then tore his clothes as a sign of his own distress, and he put on sackcloth as a sign of getting ready to pray in a spirit of humility. He entered the temple of the Lord. First, Hezekiah sent a message to the prophet Isaiah, urging him to pray. Isaiah sent a message back. Verse 37, verse 6, "Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Do not be afraid." But in arrogance, King Sennacherib kept taunting, saying, Do not let the God you depend on deceive you. And he listed the other nations that he had conquered. And he pointed out that they had prayed to their gods and it didn't do any good. Hezekiah received the message from Isaiah, from the prophet. And he went into the temple of the Lord and he spread the message out. You know, it's before electronic communication, of course. So he's got like a scroll or something and he's spreading it out in the temple of the Lord. And then, unlike his father Ahaz, Hezekiah did something different. He tried something different. He prayed. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. Let's read that prayer again. It's not a long prayer. It's not complicated. Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these peoples and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. He's reminding himself who God is. He's presenting the facts to God, even as dire as they are. And he's also in faith, reminding himself and the Lord of what God can do. Then Isaiah the prophet sent another message. This one was kind of a two-part one. First, there was a word that the Lord spoke against Sennacherib of Assyria. And part two, promises for Hezekiah. Then the miracle happened. The Assyrian camp experienced unexplained losses, losses that made no logical sense. And they fled back to Nineveh with King Sennacherib, and they stayed in Nineveh. The fiercest empire in the known world was at the gate of God's holy city, but the Lord responded to King Hezekiah's prayer and miraculously spared the city. The story continues in Isaiah. We learn a little bit more about Hezekiah. He suffered a terrible illness in chapter 38 and almost died. Again, chapter 38, verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And again, the Lord responded and extended his life. Chapter 39, kind of wraps up the story for Hezekiah, and it contains an ominous warning of troubles to come. So the king of Babylon, this is another empire that's on the rise in the region. The king of Babylon came to visit on the pretense of just wanting to wish King Hezekiah well upon his recovery from his illness. And Hezekiah welcomed him in and showed him everything. All the riches of the palace, the silver and the gold, all the military might, all the weapons and supplies, showed him everything that he had. Isaiah the prophet spoke to King Hezekiah after this happened and said, in verse 6 of chapter 39, the time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored will be carried off to Babylon. So, just two chapters after Jerusalem is miraculously delivered from Assyria, the prophet predicts that with Babylon, the city will not be protected. So, I know it's kind of a bummer of note to end, but there's three lessons that I see in this story of Hezekiah's life. The first is beware arrogance. The Assyrians, their kings and their multiple kings and their military were arrogant to the extreme. But wouldn't it be easy to get arrogant if you had the kind of success that they did and you just kind of mowed over every nation in the area with ease? And watching every nation cry out to their gods and to see that it didn't make a difference at all. The Assyrians, after each military success, they just thought they were invincible. They got to the point where they thought nothing of mocking the God of Judah. They thought nothing could stop them. And of course, they were very wrong when it came to Hezekiah's God, the one true God. And they embarrassed themselves, and they were sent packing back home. But it wasn't just the Assyrians who got arrogant. After watching the Assyrian military destroy everything around, except the city of Jerusalem with the temple of the Lord, the people of God in Jerusalem got a little bit arrogant too, because God had rescued them that time. They thought that God would always rescue them, even if they ignored God completely and even if they disobeyed him. They thought they were invincible simply because of the temple of the Lord, and that they were just sort of always safe. And they just got a little bit too comfortable with that. And they took that for granted. The truth is that, yes, God is good and is always with us, but we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what God's going to do or not do. That's kind of what makes him God. You know, he's above all of it and can do what he chooses. The good news about empires, though, is that empires come and go. Empires rise and fall. So whether they are good or just really terrible, God is on his throne. God is the one who is ruling over all and is making things right for us, for his world, in his time. So beware arrogance. Let God be God. Second, beware lies. The king of Assyria made just a lot of lies. There were some false promises, some wonderful things that he was kind of dangling out in front of them that he may or may not have actually provided. And he also lied to them by sowing doubts about God's goodness. By sowing doubts about their leaders and whether their leaders had the best in mind for them. This is nothing new. In John chapter 8, Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. I was reminded of the serpent in the garden who got Adam and Eve to question what God had said and to doubt God's goodness. In the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, Satan quoted God's word, interestingly, but twisted it and tried to get Jesus off balance when Jesus was alone in the wilderness praying. And made some promises too. Again, not sure he was really going to follow through on any of those, but made some claims of course, Jesus passed the test by quoting scripture right back at Satan. So beware the lies. Nothing new. Lies back then, lies today. We need to be rooted in God's word, reminding ourselves what God has said and what God has promised. And finally, and the bottom line here, is trust in the Lord alone. And yes, pray. If we're trusting in the Lord alone, then we are praying and we are presenting our needs to Him every day. Poor King Ahaz fell for those lies immediately, ignoring God's word from Isaiah, and just immediately gave in to fear and doubt. King Hezekiah trusted the word of God from the prophet, and he prayed. And he didn't act in fear, he acted in faith. The men, they really weren't that different. Remember, they're from the same family, their father and son. They're not that different. I can't find any significant difference that I'm aware of in skill or intelligence or resources. Hezekiah was older, so he did have that on his side, maybe a little bit wiser. But their posture to the word of God and to the words from the prophet and their willingness to trust God, to pray, and to wait when they were feeling scared, that was the biggest difference between the two of them. And it made all the difference in the outcomes of their lives and the outcomes for the people around them and the people that they were seeking to serve. So today we ask ourselves, it's a good question from 36:5, on whom are you depending? So this is actually, this is one of King Sennacherib's men taunting King Hezekiah's men. But it's still a good question. I mean, they meant it as a taunt, but it's a good question for us to ask ourselves. On whom are we depending? Where is our trust? Where are we leaning? Whether we're facing temptations or threats or uncertainty or whatever. Who are we trusting and why? And we kind of, as Christians, we kind of got to ask ourselves, like, okay, but really? Because we know the right answers. But really, who are we trusting? There's a book called The Christian Atheist by Craig Groeschel. And I admit I've not read the book, but I find the title intriguing. It's about, you know, we can say we believe in God, but still live and function day to day as if everything is up to us. And so that's why we have to stop and ask ourselves, on whom are we depending? Really? It's a question we need to ask every day, actually. On whom are we depending? So let's take a moment to talk to the Lord about that right now.